If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
This episode contains explicit language. Welcome to Mom and Dad Are Fighting, Slate's parenting podcast for Monday, May 8th, the Potty Problems edition. I'm Elizabeth Newcamp. I write the homeschool and family travel blog Dutch Dutch Goose. I'm the mom of three littles, Henry, who's 11, Oliver, who's 8, and Teddy, who's 6. We live in Colorado Springs, Colorado.
I'm Jamila Lemieux, a writer, contributor to Slate's Care and Feeding parenting column, and mom to Naima, who is 10, and we live in Los Angeles.
I'm Zach Rosen. I make another podcast. It's called The Best Advice Show, and I'm dad to Noah, who is 5, and Ami, who's 2. We live in Detroit.
Today on the show, Dr. Christine Stephenson, the constipation coach, is back to help us help a listener who's running into some potty training problems at preschool. She thought she had her son potty trained, but now he's having daily accidents at school. See you back here in a second.
This podcast is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity, much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save nearly $800 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $793 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2021 and May 2022. Potential savings will vary.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Let's start by welcoming Christine Stephenson back to the show. Welcome, Christine.
Hi, thank you for having me back.
Well, you've joined us before, but for listeners who are unfamiliar, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
So I'm a pediatric physical therapist. I live and work and raise a couple of kids in Rapid City, South Dakota. A few years into my career as a PT, I got trained to treat bowel and bladder dysfunction, which, I mean, just changed my whole world because it affects so many kids in so many ways. And it's so treatable if we know about it.
Well, we're so glad you can be here because we get so many potty training questions on this show because, of course, it's terrible. But I'm hoping this one in particular, I think, really stuck with us. And we just wanted to have you give us some advice to help other people potty training and specifically this question. So here is what the letter writer writes. Seeking advice on potty training. We started training our son around age 2 using the oh crap potty training method, and he was eventually about 85% day trained for pee and has been nearly 100% reliable for poop. However, since starting preschool last fall, he has nearly daily pee accidents. Now he's 4.5 years old, and the improvement we were hoping for hasn't happened. We've tried sticker charts, potty watch, the Daniel Tiger potty episode, books, etc., and nothing has worked. He won't generally have full-fledged accidents, but will wet enough that it's clear he had an accident, and then we'll finish on the toilet. Pediatricians have been no help and says it's probably behavioral, not medical. Son reports no pain when urinating, and there's no reason to think he has a UTI or is constipated. I'm getting a bit desperate and am worried his school's patients will run out as kids are supposed to be potty trained. Any advice or suggestion for a super late kid? Preschool potty problems. All right, Christine, what do you think?
Okay, so first message I want to send to this letter writer is they are so far from alone. if I can just talk for a minute about potty training in general, like in our country, we make some mistakes. First of all, I think we do it too soon. I think we do it when parents want to potty train and not when kids want to potty train. The second one, and this is problematic in a lot of ways for me to say, because I really believe in body autonomy, but we have this thing where we should honor our kids' body autonomy. And as far as the OCRAP method, I think they really focus on that. The kids should learn their urges, which is terrific. And then the kids should be allowed or given the responsibility. Given the responsibility to respond to those urges. If we're teaching kids to know what their urges are, but then saying, you can choose what to do with those urges, whatever you want, then a lot of kids respond to those urges by ignoring those urges, because all of us make those urges go away all day long. I can be in the clinic with kids and I've got this kid for an hour, and then, oh, I'll go to the bathroom in between. Oh, but my other kid's here. So then I'm going to go another half an hour. I really got to go, but I'm going to wait until after this. And it's 4 hours later and I finally make it to the bathroom. That's not a healthy toileting pattern, but like, I'm an adult. I don't have pelvic floor dysfunction. I don't have incontinence. I'm okay. These are toddlers who are going to make the exact same decisions. They're not going to know at all whether it's good or bad for them. And then they get into this habit of holding their pee and poop. So, in general, I have advice for potty training that I wish all parents would follow. The first thing to do is to make your kids practically beg to be potty trained. So I tell parents to put your kid in a pull-up. They need to be able to go on a schedule. They need to show that they can go when they're in the grocery store and they need to use the bathroom, and daycare when they need to use the bathroom, and the park when they need to use the bathroom. Mm-hmm. You know, like, they have to show that they're really capable of doing it all the time and they're not going to hold it. And so they really need to want it. And then the underwear and being potty trained is the reward. If I could, I would tell parents to wait until their kids are dry at night, because that's really a sign of a mature bladder, and it'll mean that potty training will go easier. And then now is when I get to talk about poop, which is really my wheelhouse. When potty training, you should pay super close attention to your kids' poop. As a general rule, if they're pooping once or twice a day before potty training, they should be doing the same when they're potty training and then when they're done potty training. It's not unusual for poops to slow down a little bit, like twice a day to once a day, but kids should be pooping once a day. The final potty training advice that I have is I would like everybody to throw away the question, do you have to go to the bathroom? And I'd like them to replace it with, it's time to go to the bathroom. I don't think I've ever really heard, I have a lot of toddlers in my life right now. I don't think I've ever heard one of these parents say, do you have to go to the bathroom? And the kid to say, oh yeah, you're right, Dad, I do. You know, like, no. They say no. And then finally, they have a pee leak right there in the living room, or they get carried off to the bathroom. So I think taking away that do you have to go is not a bad option for a lot of kids. So now this child in particular, I read the not medical, that it's behavioral, not medical. And I just, was like, oh, great. What a relief, you know? And I said it kind of tongue in cheek, but it is a relief, right? Like, you want to know that your kid doesn't have a neurological dysfunction that's causing this bladder to malfunction, no disease process, no structural abnormalities. And so everything I say should be taken with that assumption that there's not something medically going on and that this kid has been screened for all that. But so it's not pathological, but I would argue that this is 100% a medical issue. It should be treated as such, because it doesn't sound to me like he wants to have incontinence. He's recognizing when he's had incontinence and is able to hold it enough to go to the bathroom, but he's not getting that urge until his bladder is super full. So my suspicion is that way back when he was 2, he learned how to hold his pee. Many kids do. They use their pelvic floor muscles that tighten up and hold pee in. They sit on their heel. There's actually a name for that. It's called Vincent's curtsy. They sit on their heel to hold pee or poop in. They do that dance that we all like cutely call the potty dance. Like, I'm like, no, I don't want to see a potty dance. That's not going to be cute. Like, your body is telling you have to go to the bathroom and your brain's not recognizing it. So way back then, he learned to hold his pee. And what happens is the bladder is like a balloon and it stretches, and you get an urge that you have to go to the bathroom. But if you ignore that urge, it goes away, as we've already talked about. And then you keep drinking and the bladder gets a little bit fuller. and you might get that urge again, and then it goes away. And then if you keep this up for a couple months, the only time you get the urge is when it's like super, super full and it's about to overflow or it has overflowed. What I would do with this child, the first thing I would do is I would actually use that water balloon analogy. And with kids, sometimes I will just get a water balloon and explain like, you know, this is a normal water balloon, like maybe the size of an orange filled with water. Mm-hmm. And then like you have potty muscles that are holding it in and you go to the toilet and you have to empty it all the way. But if you don't empty it, it turns into the size of a grapefruit or it turns into the size of something bigger, and showing the child that like, when it gets that full, your muscles aren't strong enough, and that's why that pee is leaking out. And then you're tightening up and holding it in, you're going to the bathroom. So to explain that, like, your brain isn't, right now, your brain isn't getting the signal that your bladder is full. And so they said that they've tried a potty watch before. I would go back to using a potty watch. I would introduce it with some education, like, you have nerves. They are little mailmen that go from your bladder up to your brain and tell you whether you have to go pee. But your nerves aren't doing the job because you don't know you have to go pee until it's already coming out. So we're going to use this watch like a nerve, like a little mailman that's going to your brain and saying, it's time to go to the bathroom. Even if your brain doesn't feel it in your body, you're going to feel it on this watch. And then if you want, you can use a reward, not for staying dry during the day, but for following that watch.
Yeah, based on what you said too, it seems like they should check in with the preschool about what their potty strategy is, because it sounds like are they offering the kids the opportunity or are they all lining up and going? And I know like our kids were in Dutch preschool and it was much more like everybody goes to the bathroom. You are welcome to go to the bathroom anytime, but on these certain times, everybody goes. It doesn't matter whether you have to go or not. Everybody lines up. Everybody sits on the toilet. If you go, great. If you don't go. But asking, like, is that, you know, what is happening in the classroom and what is the environment? Are they asking the kids or making them go? And can they, you know, make your kids go? I also wonder, like, are there any barriers in the classroom to going? Like, is the bathroom outside and there's like a door that locks and you have like, you know, taking stock of those, because it seems like what this kid needs is consistent and easy access to a bathroom, right? To follow that potty watch until they can listen to their body better.
Totally agree. And I also like those potty watches can be set for any time. So you want to set it for this kid, probably for every hour and a half, although I don't think he needs to go to the bathroom every hour and a half for the long term, but let's have some success. Go to the bathroom approximately every hour and a half to 2 hours, and then eventually maybe every 2.5 hours. But work with those teachers. Like, what is the time of day that works? Our goal is around 90 minutes, 100 minutes. When can we set it so it works? And then that's another conversation that needs to happen with this kid. Like, is there something about this bathroom that makes it difficult? What are the barriers? And let's knock down those barriers. The other thing is you have to look very, very closely on whether or not this kid is constipated. And I can't scream this from the mountaintops high enough. Like, he probably is. Many, many kids are. And your child can poop every day and still be constipated. Constipation is a backup of stool in the rectum. New stool can go around it, especially if your kid has a pretty good diet, you know, and drinks a lot of water and that poop is nice and soft. It'll go around the old stuff. But the old stuff that's hanging out there is what's causing the problem, because it pushes against the bladder, which is a muscle. So as a physical therapist, if I want to activate a muscle, I tap on it. And it's kind of like you have this bladder, the bladder is a muscle, and you just have this poop constantly tapping on it, telling it to contract. And then the bladder is squeezing all the time, it's contracting all the time, and then the pelvic floor muscles are fighting it. So really digging into this kid's poop, which I wouldn't literally do, but what are some of the signs of that he might be constipated, even if he's pooping every day? Are his poops cracked, you know, like desert floor poops? Are they rabbit turds? Are they super big or round? If they ever clog the toilet, any listener who has a kid who clogs the toilet, that kid is constipated 100%. I have hesitation with that. Diarrhea is a sign of constipation. I mean, it might be an occasional stomach bug, but for the most part, wetting the bed or waking up at night to pee is a sign of constipation, because there's not enough room for that bladder to expand because that stool is taking up space. stomach aches always, or constipation almost always. Almost, I shouldn't say always, but almost. And then decreased appetite, kids who just don't want to eat all that much at once. Anyway, so you identify the constipation, and then you treat the constipation. Go to your doctor, ask what to do. Read my book, The Constipation Game Plan, because I'll be honest, a lot of pediatricians, they stop at medication, and there's so many more things that you could do, like a toileting schedule and exercises and posture on the toilet.
And also not feel, I mean, you started with this, but I think it's worth ending kind of with it too, that like they shouldn't feel any guilt about this or that they did something wrong, because this letter does read like very heavy. And I mean, that is how I felt the entire time potty training. Like, this is somehow my fault.
I know, we're so full of judgments. Absolutely not. I just wish everybody could at their 2 or 3 year well child visit just be like, hey, I just want you to know, none of this is easy. There is no schedule. I want every preschool teacher who has told a parent that I've worked with that their kid can't be in a pull-up and go to preschool. Like, no, that's like, I mean, you shouldn't be potty training because your preschool teacher told you you had to. That's just a recipe for disaster.
So many of us have to do that. You know, we can't change our school policy. So do you have any advice of like, you know, dealing with the shitty policy, if you will?
Being just like Elizabeth said, like being very communicative with the teachers about schedules, and just say, our child needs help remembering to go. They shouldn't be asked. I mean, preschool teachers should also ban the do you have to go to the bathroom. There should be a morning bathroom break and after, and then making sure, like, having conversations with the teachers and the kids about like, what's going on with the bathroom? Is it private? Is it accessible? Do they feel comfortable? Are they distracted? Are there a lot of sounds outside the room that might distract them? My favorite story about a young kid was, like, she told me she was pooping on the toilet, and then a bug walked across the floor and she just stopped pooping. She was like, how can you expect me to poop when there's like this little ant walking across the floor?
Zach, can I add that you can, even for preschool, like look into the 504 policy. If you have a note from your doctor saying that it's not something, that it's a medical issue, which any of these can, you can have that handled. Henry has pandas, of course, and part of that is frequent urination. And so we've dealt with a lot of these policies. I would say that most of the time the preschools require them because they are not allowed to basically handle feces. And for a lot of what we're talking about in the pull-up, it is not that they are going to poop there. It is that they are going to pee a little bit, or and so some of that can be overcome. And listen, if you go in and present this evidence, like if everyone just acts like, hey, this is totally normal, things are not going to change. If you are continuing to say to your preschool, you know, hey, we're trying to make this work, but here I'm going to have a 504, I'm going to have this doctor's letter, or what else do I need to get this? That is going to raise their awareness that, like, this isn't the best policy, right? Because what's driving us now is like, well, who wants to have to hire people to change poop, right? That requires extra certifications, all this extra stuff to deal with children's genitals and, you know, butts and wiping. And that is why they are doing it. So I do think some pushback, or if your child is truly not ready, go to the doctor and find out what you have to present to your preschool, you know, to say this doesn't work for us. And how can I make this work here?
Yeah.
Make a really good point. I mean, there's some policy wide thing, you know, they're all short staffed and I think I'm mostly saying, like, it bothers me the most when it's daycares, when it's the 2 year old set.
Reasons are not based on the best recommendation for your child. They're based on what's best for the institution that we've set up. Right.
Right.
We have many conversations about that. But I do think this is a good place to leave the conversation about this. And you have given some wonderful advice. And of course, preschool potty problems, we will be thinking of you. Please know that we all really feel for you. And we hope that some of this works. So please give us an update. Let us know how it's going. Everyone else, if you have some other tried and true advice or things that have worked for you, please email us at momanddad@slate.com or send us a voicemail at 646-357-9318. Of course, if you have other potty training questions, let us know. We're always happy to get Christine back to help us out. Christine, before we end this little segment, where can our listeners find you if they need more information, they want to know more about what you do? How can they find you?
I can be emailed at christine@constipationcoach.com. The other thing that I really want to recommend to everybody is that pediatric physical therapists who work in bowel and bladder dysfunction, we're a small group, but like not that small. There's more and more of us every year. And it can be life-changing. I mean, there's just so much that you don't know that I didn't know until I started doing this. So as a parent, I'm always like, go find the experts. And pediatric PTs who work in bowel and bladder, man, it can really set kids up for some good things and further down the line too. So go to Constipation Coach, but also just look up in your town if there's a physical therapist who does bowel and bladder dysfunction. Even for this 4.5-year-old, I'd really recommend that.
Awesome. Do you mind sticking around to give some recommendations?
No, not at all.
Okay, great. Well, we're going to take a quick break and then we'll see you back here in a second.
This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Frame. Mother's Day is almost here. What are you getting her? Something that shows you care. Something that makes her feel loved. Something that won't stress you out. Something like the Skylight Frame. The Skylight Frame is the perfect gift. It's a touchscreen photo frame your whole family can upload photos to, from wherever they are in the world. It's a way to share with her all the moments that matter. It sets up in seconds. You can even make sure that it's already loaded with photos when your mom opens her Mother's Day gift. And her Skylight Frame can hold thousands of the treasured photos you share. It's an easy, heartfelt way for mom to stay connected with those who matter most. It really is the perfect gift. Now, as a special Mother's Day offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight Frame when you go to skylightframe.com/easy. That's SKYLIGHTFRAME.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightframe.com/easy.
Talking about money can be so hard, especially when the person you're talking to is still learning how to do long division. That's why Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace, is here to help. I'm Bridget, and with my fellow co-host Ryan, we help teach your little ones about complex topics like bankruptcy, climate change, and why there's so much gold at Fort Knox, and so much more. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's move on to recommendations. Zach, we're going to start with you. What are you recommending?
Well, I know that you decided to recommend something kind of on topic, so I thought I would do the same. I'm going to recommend the musical stylings of Mr. Farts. This is an artist I learned about this past weekend when I was spending some time with my grown adult friends. There were no kids around, but we put it on, and we really enjoyed it. There's a song called Farting Around the Clock. There is a song called Taco Farts, Sea Shanty Fart. You get the point. If you are in the zone that my family is right now, where we're trying to be able to have honest and open and sometimes comedic conversations about farting and pooping, like we don't want to suppress all the talk around this stuff. And so we're trying to like make it fun, but also trying to teach our older kid that, like, you know, we shouldn't be saying like, I'm gonna fart on your head, like, you know, she gets like ideas like that. So we're kind of having these conversations a lot, and we find Mr. Farts to be a positive, fun addition to this kind of ongoing conversation around how and when to talk about bathroom stuff.
I love it.
Oh, that's so great. Hey, Zach, can I just real quick, I recommend the planting the idea in your head, in your kid's head, that a fart is just a poop honking the horn. because like 100, yes, like if your child's having a very farty night, they need to go sit on the toilet to try to poop.
Yep.
So we always just say that. We're always like, oh, toot, toot, that poop's honking a horn.
That's actually the name of Mr. Fart's Christmas album, A Very Farty Night. Just kidding. It's not, but it should be. That's great. That's a really good tip.
Oh my Thank gosh. You. Jamila, what are you recommending?
All right. I don't have a fart-themed recommendation, unfortunately. I'm recommending a show on Netflix. This would be good for older kids. I haven't watched it with Naima yet. I think she could handle it, even though sex is the theme, but I don't know that I'm necessarily going to show it to her because sex is the theme. It's called Never Have I Ever, and it's produced by Mindy Kaling. It's about a young girl navigating high school and the passing of her father, and she's socially awkward and nerdy, and she wants a boyfriend very badly, and her social life kind of takes off, and it's really interesting. It's been criticized in the way that most of Mindy Kaling's work has been for depicting Indian girls that are really into white boys and white culture, and it's guilty of that too. But it's got some other really strong stuff going on too. I just think it's really good. And she does start dating an Indian boy at one point. I don't know if it lasts, but that's a big difference from the Mindy Project where she exclusively dated white boys. But it's a really good show. It's earnest. The lead actress is just super sweet and good. It's a great kid cast. Good show.
Awesome. Thanks for that. Christine, what are you recommending?
My family, it's super important to me that we get outside and get fresh air and have some family time without phones or screens or any of that. And it's always a pain or always a challenge, as it is for most parents. But this spring, we have had so much success when we have the theme of trying to pick up trash during our walks. So going for a hike and just picking up trash, or the best was the creek. Like, we went down to the creek and we were picking up trash. And these kids just go crazy for it. Like, they love it. There's no complaining for my 5-year-old or my 13-year-old. They're super into it. They get sunshine. We all feel good. Like, we did something good for the environment. And so it's just win-win-win. So
that's how you get them out of the house. You say, like, come on, let's go pick up trash. That's more compelling to them than let's go hike.
Yeah. No promise of ice cream afterwards. No, nothing. It's just like, hey, let's. My husband has some grabbers.
I was going to say, do you have grabbers? Because
grabbers are fun.
We get the grabbers and we go out on the trail. And I mean, it's in town because there's a drive in town that has like a ton of trash on it. So we just get off on the drive and go on the trails that are next to it and fill up bags with trash. And then we leave them on the drive and then we go pick them up. So we don't have to hike home with a bag of trash. But anyway, the trash pickup mission has been a real success. So everybody should try it. Maybe I'm just lucky that my kids like trash.
I love this so much. No, I think this is universally exciting for children.
Yes. Mm-hmm. How about you, Elizabeth?
I'm going to bookend this with another fart-themed recommendation.
Yes.
We just finished this book that someone gave us called Does It Fart? The Definitive Field Guide to Animal Flatulence. It is a lovely little book with fun illustrations that goes through different animals and tells you whether they fart or not. So, you know, things like zebra, yes, and why they fart and how their system works. Octopus, no. Some animals burp instead of fart. We are in that same phase of trying to continue to navigate kind of the fart jokes and fart humor, and kind of saying like, hey, this is an important part of our body. And legitimately, I had never thought about whether some of these animals fart, but you get to learn about their digestive systems. And it's been a nice alternative to fart humor. Like, now we're kind of learning about this and making jokes about like, well, does a snake fart? So check out this book. And also the illustrations are just great. Each page is kind of a different animal and a really fun illustration. So it's a fun family book that you can pull out. Again, it's Does It Fart? The Definitive Field Guide to Animal Flatulence.
Good stuff.
All right.
Well, there you go. You can learn all about animal farts. Well, Christine, thank you so much for joining us. We just so much appreciate you stopping by and helping us answer these questions.
It's my pleasure. I'll come back anytime.
Great. All right, that does it for today. This episode of Mom and Dad Are Fighting is produced by Rosemary Belson and Maura Curry. Alicia Montgomery is VP of Slate Audio. For Zach Rosen and Jamila Lemieux, I'm Elizabeth Newcamp. Thanks for listening.